Hello, everybody. This is Worlds of Books. My name's Alan Limley. I am the facilitator. And tonight, which is February 21st, 2023, we'll be discussing the book Demon Copperhead by Barbara Kingsolver. I read a couple of articles about Barbara Kingsolver, and there's just a wealth of information about her. So I'm going to hit some of the high points. If you ever want to get her aspect about herself, she says she doesn't like writing about herself. And so she says she's rather right, but she does have a website, BarbaraKingsolver.com or maybe .net. And she's got a little bio about herself on that. And she kind of like breaks it down into segments of her life in terms of time frames from years to years. But I also read the Wikipedia article. She was born in 1955. She'll be turning 68 in April. I don't remember her exact birthday, but April of 1955. She was born in Annapolis, Maryland. I think she lived partly in Carlisle, Kentucky. I think I'm getting that city right, which I think may be in the Appalachian area. Probably would have been Eastern Kentucky, I'm assuming. When she was seven, her father was a doctor. They moved to the Congo for him to, she comes from a family of service oriented people and stuff. I mean, she's been an activist. And she's big on trying to grow her own food and do stuff like that. And I think I would like sitting down and talking to her because I think she's probably is a good soul and is interested in helping folks. And it sounds like she came from a family of similar type folks. She studied music in Indiana at a place called, I thought they were saying DePaul, but it's not DePaul. It was DePaul, D-E capital P-A-U-W, I think, in Indiana. And then she got a graduate degree from the University of Arizona. And then she finally decided, I mean, she studied biology, she studied music. And then, you know, finally, she liked to write. So she started writing short stories and things like that. And, you know, went on from there. I think we read the Bean Tree. Was that what it was called, Michelle?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Yeah, we read that in Fiction Old and New, I think. And then I know I've never read The Poisonwood Bible. I know that's one of her well-noted works. And then I expect this Demon Copperhead is probably going to be talked about probably for mm-hmm. many years to come because it's gotten mm-hmm. a lot of positive buzz and stuff. But you know, I think that's probably the highlights of what I got about her. Oh, she has she's been married twice. She's got two daughters. And they're years apart. One of them is named Camille. The oldest one's Camille, and the youngest one's named Lily. And they're 10 or 15 years between them, I think. But she lives in Virginia now, I think, probably in the Appalachian area of Virginia, where that's where this book is set, I guess. Anyway, I think those are the highlights. If anything else comes to me during the course of the meeting, I'll dredge it up. But I did my best to make a list of the characters as I came across them. Just bear with me. I'll try to hit the names and stuff. I mean, a lot of these characters were throughout the whole book. So my descriptions were done early on and didn't reflect all that they did. But anyway, let's see. Damon Fields is the main character, and he's known as Demon Copperhead in the book. But I think his real name is Damon Fields. Let's see. Maggot. I don't guess I ever wrote his mother's name down, but I guess she died fairly early and stuff, so I didn't get her name. Maggot. Peggott was like his best friend when he was younger. He hung out at the Peggotts throughout the book, it seems like.
His mother wasn't dead. She was in prison.
Maggot's mother was in prison. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, she died at 10.
That Damon's mother died when he was little as well. Okay, that's confusing. You're right. Yeah, I was jumping around. Sorry. Let's see. fast forward was one one of the guys he met at Cricket's farm, I think.
Right.
When he were at one of his foster homes. And then of course he was in the book throughout it. And he was obviously a smooth talker and really able to influence people and stuff. And I guess a dope dealer too, supposedly, but everybody kind of had their hands in dope one way or another, it seemed like in this book. So, Ms. Barks was one of his first foster care, or DSS people that oversaw him, until she quit to go to college, I think, or quit to get another job. Creaky was the one that ran the farm where he had to do tobacco and all that kind of good stuff. Swap Out was one of his foster brothers, I guess, on Creaky's farm. Tommy was also one of his foster brothers on Creaky's farm, and he went on to work with Tommy at the newspaper and stuff. So Emmy was the girl that was, you know, that he was close to. I guess Aunt June was the one that kind of raised her and was looking after her the whole time. And and they had to end up rescuing her from, I think it was in I can't remember where they
Atlanta. Had to go.
Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta. That's right. Yeah. Thanks, Ralph. Let's see. Aunt June, who, I liked Aunt June. She was like one of the most stable people in the book, it seemed like, because she was she was big anti on all the oxy crap and really wearing out those pharmaceutical guys that were getting everybody hooked on that stuff. And
she was a nurse too.
Yeah so she was like one of the most stable influences in the book, I think. The McCobbs was another foster family. I think he had to live in the dog's room when he was with them, it seems like. Is that that's right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Betsy Woodall was his grandmother, on his paternal grandmother and stuff. So I don't know. I liked her, but and let's see. And Brother Dick was I guess that's Betsy's brother. And I think he was disabled. He was in a wheelchair, I think. And but he was everybody seemed to love Brother Dick. I mean, I think he was very smart, and he did those kites and rode on them and stuff. Let's see. U-Haul. I mean, gee whiz, what a creep. But Ryan Piles was his real name, but he was bad news. Coach Winfield was the one that the foster coach that adopted him for a while when Damon was playing football and stuff. Agnes, I guess, who I really liked. Maddie Kate was the housekeeper, I think, at Angus's house and the coach's house. Mr. Armstrong was the teacher that I really liked him and Ms. Annie. Mm-hmm. You know, they were husband and wife.
Yep.
Yeah.
And his wife. Yep.
Yeah. They were a couple of good, really good characters. Let's see. Dory was the one he ended up marrying until she flamed out on drugs and stuff. And then Hammer seemed like he was a bit of a sweetheart and stuff, but he, like so many of them, he was caught up in the dope and stuff. And he ended up dying at that scene toward the end when Fast Forward died. Okay. Mm-hmm. Those are all the characters I've got. I read the Wikipedia article about let's see, Melungeons. So for those that are curious how Melungeon is spelled, it's Melungeon, and that is a group of folks in the Appalachian area that are a mixture of European, Native American, and African is the mixture. And obviously, you know, Demon was Melungeon. He referred to himself that way several times. But did we read another book in one of our book groups? And I don't know if it was about people that were kind of bluish in color and stuff.
Or
was
that, yeah. Was that,
yeah. What was the name of that?
The Woman of Troublesome.
The Book Woman of
Troublesome. It was the Book Woman of Troublesome Creek.
Yeah, the book right, woman. Right. Yeah. Now, was she Melungeon in that book or not?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay.
It's
okay.
A genetic.
Right. It was a genetic thing. Yeah.
That also, didn't that book also take place in Appalachia?
I think it was in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all I've got. I'm just going to call on people and let you talk about the book and stuff. That's okay. Okay.
Great Let's job, see. Alan.
Okay. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. I did my best, but we'll see. Let's see. Okay. Joni, you're at the top of the list.
Oh, goody. I love this book. I got this book from Bookshare and from Bard and from Bookshare and Braille on my e-reader. Oh. I couldn't stop reading it. I just loved it. Demon went through so much and was so strong. This little kid having to do all this stuff and people taking advantage of him, and it was good that he had the Peggots to help him, especially when he really didn't have a home. My take, though, was also the David Copperfield thing. I had read David Copperfield a few times, and I read it a few years ago, and I couldn't. Well, I figured that the way it starts out, and Damon or Demon is being born, and then Miss Betsy comes and wants him to be a girl, and he's not, and she just leaves, and this poor mom is in dire straits, and somehow he is born, and things, she's unable, because she's on drugs and everything else, to care for him. She wants to, but she just doesn't have the ability because she's strung out so much. And so Betsy, from what I remember, was Betsy Trotwood, who was his grandmother, and his mother died soon after he was born, if I remember, David Copperfield, I mean. And some of the characters that I could remember were the Micawbers. It was the Macabs, and they were nasty people. And so many of the people in the book, it's a wonder that he survived, because the way he was tortured and starved and the book was over 500 pages, and I almost didn't know if I was going to finish it, but I was fighting to finish it by tonight. I loved it.
At least, Joni,
day and night.
At least there wasn't any pickpockets in this one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. I didn't
know what
you said.
I said there wasn't any pickpockets in this one. David Copperfield.
David Copperfield,
they taught him how to.
They were really in Oliver Twist.
That was Oliver Twist. Yeah.
Okay, I may have them. I've got them.
I think you're twisting your Dickens stories on it.
Yeah, I think it's all Dickens just twisted.
Yeah. And Joni, I just realized after you were talking that Uriah Heep must be U-Haul now that I think about it. Because
that's right. I didn't think that. I was wondering. And U-Haul.
What a creep.
And Dora.
Uriah Creep. Right.
And Dora in David Copperfield was Dory.
Yeah. I need to go back and read the first couple of chapters of David Copperfield after reading Demon Copperhead. I think it'll all seem a lot more tied in.
But the names that he chose, Cobb, and because I was trying to think who Dory was, and then I realized today, Dory was Dora. And he was so in love. David was so in love with Dora, and she could do no wrong, even though she didn't know how to do anything. And Dory was the same way, except Dory was on drugs.
Right. Yeah.
And I love the parallel. And I can't say too much about this book. I'm trying to recommend it to people. People might be turned around by the. Might be turned off by the length, but everything was so good. I'm sitting and I'm reading my Braille, and then at night I would try to catch up to see where I was in the audiobook. And the Braille light, Braille e-reader, this book didn't have any page numbers. In the Bookshare, it had page numbers, so I like that.
That's nice. Okay. All right.
I probably talked enough.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, thank you. Thanks for all your comments.
Thank you.
I've got area code 970, and that's a new one for me.
Catherine, maybe?
Say again?
Catherine, maybe? I'm trying to think.
Hi, 972 is somewhere in our area. That's my area code.
Area code 970. Do you want to comment or not?
970. Okay.
Or you could comment and tell us who you are.
Hi, this is Catherine. Sorry, I was a little late because I was at the TikTok. I read this book using Audible. And I only got to chapter 56, and I got really discouraged with this book. It was, it drug on and on. It was really slow, and it wasn't like her the author's other books that she had written that I really like. So I was really disappointed with this book, but I read as much as I could. I'm interested in finding out what the next book will be, because not every book do people like or dislike, you know. And so I'm glad that there's a variety of books that you offer in this book club. Thank you very much.
And what was your name again? I'm sorry, I missed it.
Catherine.
Okay. Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you.
Let's see.
I recognize the Colorado Zip.
I got you.
And she's on some other book clubs, so.
I got you. Is that Nancy Unger, area code 951?
Yes. Hi, Barry. Hi, Ellen, everyone.
Hi there. You're up.
Thank you. I'm with Catherine. Parvati King Solver is an excellent author. I've read The Poison Wood Bible. That was excellent. Most of her books are excellent. I just couldn't get into this book either, but I'm not faulting anyone else who enjoys it. I just couldn't finish it. But thank you very kindly for listening to me.
Okay. I'm looking
forward
to
the next book.
Okay. Thanks. Let's see.
Welcome.
Deanna.
there were times when I was. Oops.
What is that noise?
I don't know.
Somebody fall off their phone?
Yeah.
Don't know where their phone was sliding down the furniture. I don't know. There were points when I found it so dark that it was hard to read because and the ending part when his friend got so obsessed with trying to understand why people ridiculed people from that area. Mm-hmm. And then he realized that it was a lot more than that. That area had been abused and taken advantage of by moneyed people for generations. Whether it was the trees they were harvesting, the coal they were harvesting, and they never cut the people a break. They made them a kind of underclass, and that's where the whole hillbilly stuff came from. And I think Damon understood that there were very many good qualities in the people, like the way that if it hadn't been for the neighbors, Mrs. Piggott insisting on stopping to check on the little pregnant girl, the little pregnant teenager having a baby all alone, he might not have survived. You know, it was just that she couldn't leave for church without checking on the girl because she hadn't seen her all morning. So there was all of that caring and concern, the sharing of produce from your garden, the helping each other. That was part of it, too. And the generosity of spirit that made that 19-year-old June take her brother's baby in and care for it, even though she was going to school at the time. And doing her own thing, instead of walking away from her family, she was always there for her family as much as she could be. And when she felt like nobody respected her at the big city hospital, she went back there. Even though the work was heartbreaking and depressing and frustrating, she was one of the good-hearted people. And there were others. I mean, even the young social worker meant to do good, but it wasn't what she really wanted to do. She wanted to teach. And it was clear from the teacher, the Armstrong, and his wife Annie, that teachers didn't get paid diddly. They both had to work outside of their teaching to make ends meet. So you didn't do that unless you cared. And the same with June. Coming back to a really complex situation where she didn't have enough of what she needed and she was trying really hard to work with the people and help them. There were a lot of good people. Yes, there were a lot of creeps and self-serving people, but they were also just trying to survive. And I think it was the darkness that bothered me at times because growing up Native American, I recognize so much of the damage society does when it doesn't cut people a break anywhere and no one is looking out for them but themselves. Right. So that's what I got out of it.
Very good. Very good points. Yes, I will add some of that when it's my turn. Let's see.
Well, I was thinking about the Melungeons. And I think the comparable group would be over in the Carolinas called the Lumbees, because they were also African-American and Native American. And who knows how much white. They didn't run to red hair, but they had to really fight to form a tribe because they were not anyone recognized. They were made up of runaways. Both African-American and Native American who were trying to hide out in the swamps and stay safe, same as the Seminole down in Florida.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, let's see. Thank you, Deanna. Let's see. Jana Luttrell.
Okay. Well, I thought it was very interesting, the whole concept of this book, writing the modern day equivalent of David Copperfield. And she even took chapter by chapter and matched it chapter by chapter in David Copperfield. And except that we didn't have to this time put up with Uriah Heep or Barkus is willing. but anyway, I did think it was interesting how she pointed out the stereotypes of the Appalachian people, and also the fact that in some ways the foster care system has the problems that it does. It reminds me of when I was working with a long time ago with developmentally disabled adults, and a lot of them were in board and care homes, and some of them were really good, and some of them made you think you were back in the 1800s because they weren't feeding them enough and abusing them and things like that. Mm. So in some ways, I think she was trying to point out how the foster care system has the same problems that it had then. And then, of course, bringing in the more of the modern day drug problems and things like that. So that's really about all I have to say. I thought it was a really good book. And I'm glad you recommended it. You did it again, Alan. It was a good one.
I'm glad you liked it. I will just add, if you ever hear a knock on the door and you open and somebody's outside and they say, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help you," slam the door and run.
Native Americans have always felt that way.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I can only imagine why. Sure. Yeah, yeah. It's a, but anyway. Okay, let's see. LaDon.
Yes, I thought that the author's technique, the way she wrote this, the writing style, perfectly fit this time and place. And since she lives in that area, I believe that she probably has a special insight into the feelings of the people there. I thought the narrator was good, except if you listen to it, this at regular speed, he kind of drags along. And I didn't think that was the kind of person that Damon was. And so I speeded it up to 180%, and it was snappy. And it sounded just like Damon was just talking right along. You know, I was really going along. And it was really good narration at 180%. Yeah, try that out and see if you don't see that cut that catches Damon. Just go back and just listen to 10 minutes of it. You'll see what I mean. But anyway, I was surprised when he went to the coach's house to live, and there was Agnes. He thought she was a boy. I thought she was too, until I think she showed up in the room and he could kind of see, she's kind of slight, you know, for a boy. Yeah. And it took me a little while, even after that, to catch on, wait a minute, she's a girl, you know. and then in the end, you want to say, I thought Damon was hard. In the early part of the book, he had everything going against him, and he was really trying. I didn't like him much in the last part of the book. I didn't like him hardly at all. Getting all that drugs, he didn't have to do that. When he got down there, he left a bad taste in my mouth. And then at the very end, the last thing I'll say is that you're wanting to say, well, straight up, guy. Look, Agnes has been your friend forever. Christ's sakes, you know, here she's been waiting for you. Get with it, you know, and even when he's driving down there in the very end of the book, but he does put his hand up on the back of the seat and start kind of touching the back of her neck. So I think that the author left the impression that they were going to get together. They were going to stay in that motel together. And that'll be it, man. I mean, do it, Ben. I tell you, get with it.
Okay. All right, Ladon, thanks. Ralph Smitherman.
All right. I thought Demon Copperhead was a good book. I liked the narration by Charlie Thurston.
Yeah.
You know, my only trouble with professional narrators, I know it's a thing they do, but you know, the way they say either or neither, we don't say it that way. And we say neither or either.
Amen. Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's how we talk. Yeah. So that's a little disingenuous as far as the capturing the dialect and the common speech of people.
Absolutely.
NLS needs to, and commercial audio providers need to realize that.
Sure.
The peer pressure of Demon growing up, and he sees Fast Forward on the field, and everybody loves Fast Forward, and he's his hero, and Fast Forward can do no wrong, you know, in his eyes at first. So he gets tied into that. And of course, Lee County, Virginia, what's the big deal on Friday nights?
Football.
Right. Yeah.
And that's a lot of Texas, same way. I mean, Friday night towns are dead because people are at the football games. I mean, that's the livelihood, that's the thrive. And the coach, a winning team, and so he can get away with more. They're gonna cut him some slack.
Right.
And sort of sweep under the rug things that might be going on because, man, we're 10-0, buddy. We're going to the state championship. And so, you know, gets in that and he wants to be a player. And of course, you know, gets his knee hurt and all that and turns to the drugs and all that. The couple of characters that jump out at me, Miss Piggott was an angel.
Yeah.
She took in how many foster children over the years? I mean, just... You know, she did what she could. And and also his grandmother, you know, she was a tough broad, you know, no nonsense, tough, but she had a heart of gold as well.
Right.
Look at the girls that she helped, you know, throughout her lifetime.
So, a heart of gold where the girls were concerned.
Toward the girls.
She didn't like the boys.
She didn't like the boys. But she took care of little of Uncle Dick as well.
Right.
Guy in the wheelchair and all that. But you're right. You know, but that's what I meant. You know, toward the girls, she had a heart of gold.
Yeah, no
she took care of several of them over the years, and you know, they moved on and all that. Mr. Armstrong, I thought it was a terrific character, and his wife Annie.
Yeah.
June as well. You know, she went off to be educated and work in a city hospital, and she came back because she saw the need that was there, and you know, she didn't give up on her pursuits as well. You know, she tried to help. I thought that when Damon ran away, basically, and he's, you know, going to try to find his folks and he's hitchhiking, I thought that was a little disingenuous as well, because nowadays when you hitchhike, I mean, we're talking, you know, molestation and he never ran into that, which was good as far as, you know, the body is concerned. But also remember when he was at the truck stop and the you know, come on, somebody with cameras. I mean, they had to see her go in the bathroom with him. I mean, come on.
So that
reached a little bit. I know it had to fit into the plot, but that was a little out of context in that regard. But anyway, he never got molested, and that was good. And as far as U-Haul is concerned, Uriah Heep was an angel compared to him. He was, I'm very humble, you know, I'm humble in that. So anyway, like I say, the narration, I thought Charlie Thurston did a good job with that. So it was a good book. It was a little lengthy. I read David Copperfield, I didn't want it to end. I didn't mind that this book ended.
All right.
Those are my comments.
Very good comments, Ralph. Thank you so much. Yeah, good coverage. Yeah, yes. Let's see. Marsha Moses.
Oh my goodness! I have to follow Ralph. Oh my, he's such a wonderful literary person.
Well, you just say the same thing Ralph said. There you go.
Well, basically, but I do have to say that this is the best Barbara Kingsolver book I've ever read.
Oh,
and I didn't think it was too long. In fact, I almost was disappointed when it had to end. Parts of it were very, very dark. I never thought about quitting the book, but there were times when I almost cried, and I never cry during a book. But this one, I thought Damon was one hell of a guy. You know, growing up in the foster care system, his mother loved him, definitely. His stepfather was a SOB. Yeah. I was going to say some, you know, other stuff about that terrible man. And I loved what Ms. Kingsolver had to write about his reflections and so on throughout the book, you know, various times in his life about things that were going on, you know, the hillbillies and Appalachia and all the things that, you know, people don't care about us and we're second class citizens and he was absolutely right. Well, I should say she was absolutely right. Fast forward, he was a con man. Yeah. That's all he was. He was a con man. You know, going in there his first night when Damon went in there and he takes all their stuff and whatever. He was never a good person. But, you know, his best friend, I think, you know, Maggot was his best friend for many, many years, but that didn't work out. Actually, I think his best friend was Tommy, you know.
Yeah.
Tommy was cool. And his being, you know, the sex worker there at the truck stop. You know, taking all his money. And that's when I really almost started to cry. It's like, damn, what's going to happen here? But anyway, I love this book. In fact, many of you may know, I usually don't reread books, but this may be one that I may do a few years down the road.
Very, very good. Good, good. Anyway, well, I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
Very much so. And it was not too long.
Very, very good comments. Okay.
Thank you, Al.
Michelle.
Yes. Hi, everybody. I'm going to say I absolutely love this book. I'm so grateful that you picked it because I wanted to read it, but I don't know when I would have gotten to it. So when you picked it, I was very excited because I said, great, this is my impetus to read the book. I don't know how to describe this book. I have recommended this book to at least 4 or 5 people already. And when they asked me to describe it, I don't even know what to say. I just thought it was extraordinary. From beginning to end, it just was stunning. It was devastating. It was, you know, at times there was a little bit of hope. But it felt to me like real life. And I think if I read a nonfiction book like this, I don't even think I could have read it. I would have just put it down. But somehow she took this world, which felt so real to me, and she just made it so compelling. And these characters were just amazing characters. They felt like real people, but somehow it wasn't the same like reading a nonfiction book. So
I wish I could describe it better. I'll just say that I just thought it was extraordinary, and I loved it. And like Marcia, I'll probably read it again sometime in the future.
Very good. Very good. I understand completely where you're coming from. So thank you. Let's see. Patricia Duvalli.
Yeah. I like the book also. And as far as the characters are concerned, June was absolutely the best, hands down, in my estimation.
Yeah.
Of any of the characters. Damon, you know, he was very interesting too, and he was good too. But and of course, we know who the bad ones were, especially the stepfather was really very bad. And it was, it reminded me in many ways about of a story that Michael Conley wrote. I can't think of the name of it now, but it's all about the all these drugs being out in the open and the pain clinic.
Yeah, all the opioid stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was really amazing to me how, you know, just how that was so pervasive all the time going on. And I think, Angus, she was a good character, too. I liked her as well. And the teachers, Annie and Armstrong, too. But June, was the best to me, especially how she was, she was always fighting that, all that drug business that was going on in the community. She was really trying to work against that. I liked it. I wasn't sure if I was going to at first, because it just seemed like it might take too long to tell that story, but I didn't end up feeling like that after it got going.
Didn't seem like it that long after.
Very good. Tom, is Tom there? So you have some comments?
Yep. Hi.
Hey.
I liked it. It's really some parts are really sad about how it was treated by some of the foster people, especially when he was at the farm. And I don't think the generals really treated him really nice after a while, after he went into drugs, I guess. But it was good. It's really surprising how bad the foster system can be. You know, there was a news article that I heard that was like that, you know, like saying that after they get out of foster care, they're really on their own, and sometimes they just get homeless and, you know, but overall, I liked it. It's good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Shelley King.
Okay. Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, good evening, everyone. I've never heard of Barbara Kingsolver until you recommended this book, Alan. And I never read, what was that?
Oh, just not.
I've never read David Copperfield either, but I did see the comparisons in this book. I think the narration was really good, and the author really created a masterpiece. It was, you know, it was a bit long, but and I found there was some hilarious parts. I found you could get actually some laughs out of this. There's a few funny parts, and a lot of sadness and darkness, like we all talked about. And you know, we know how the foster system can be. There could be some good situations, and then there can be some bad situations. And unfortunately, he had to endure, you know, some bad to get to the good. But you know, overall, this was really good. I, you know, couldn't put it down, and I'm sure if another book is picked by her, I will be reading it. Yeah, it was. I would rate it a 4.5 out of 5.
Very good. Thank you, Shelley.
Sure.
Let's see. Liz Lindsay.
Okay, I don't really have a lot to add. It was one of those books that, you know, when people say, did you like it? Well, yeah, but it was so sad, you know. I had to call Marsha at one point and say, okay, before I continue reading, you've got to tell me, does it have a happy ending? Because it was so heavy and heartbreaking. You know, I used to work as a foster care case manager, and it just broke my heart. I thought about all my, you know, the kids that really, you know, kind of get into your heart, and they do. I think Demon would have been one of them, you know. But it was a great book. It was so compelling. You really couldn't stop reading. You had to keep finding out what was happening to this poor kid. Prior to reading it, I guess Barbara Kingsolver was like, okay, you know, I didn't. All right, but this one was just like, wow, she really, really excelled. So that's it. I actually gave it a 5, and I never give books 5. So thanks.
Liz, I give it a 5 too.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd give it a 5 too.
All right. Well, I think I've called on everybody, but I'll go ahead and take my turn. I agree with what everybody has said. She just did a great job in this book of dropping us down into that part of society and giving us a story that would keep us reading. I don't know if y'all felt it. Even though all the crap that Demon had to deal with, I still felt that he was going to prevail in the end. He had so much crap to deal with, but there was a positive undercurrent, at least that I got when I was reading it, that kept me going, because I thought, you know, I really like this boy. I mean, you know, and she just did a good job. He didn't really have any family, but he had a family. I mean, the community was a family and stuff. And she just did a great job of praying that, and it all felt real to me. I mean, I've never lived in Appalachia, but it felt like there were some really good people that are really there and stuff, and that she just did a good job of capturing it, I thought. And it's like Shelley said, there was a lot of humor woven into it. I mean, it was like snappy one-liners in places, but it was real. It was, and I laughed a lot during the book too.
Yeah,
I felt totally down in other parts, but that's what makes a great book great, I think, because I mean she wove all that into it and just kept me interested in the story, there really is a Lee County, Virginia. It's in Western Virginia, and it's like 68 miles away from Knoxville, Tennessee, which kind of surprised me, because I'm no geographic expert, but I lived in Memphis, Tennessee for 29 years, so I know a little bit about Tennessee, just not the eastern part as much, but Lee County must be a real county, and it must really be in Appalachia and stuff. And I just really liked getting to know these people and like others have said, it ended on an upbeat note. You know, he finally figured out after his grandmother dropped a big hint of a bomb on top of him. I think there's somebody else that's interested in you and stuff, but guys are always slow on the uptake. I don't know why that is, but hey, it's a reality. But whatever. But I just thought it was just a great read.
One of the things that Demon kept doing to himself was when people wanted to help him, he was not going to have anything to do with
them. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's like his trust was broken when the Pigots didn't take them in, but they were old. And they were already dealing with so many, you know, of their grandchildren. And
he was brokenhearted, you know, when they wouldn't take him in.
Right.
And what happened with Dory, you know, I mean, she, you know, when she was taking care of her dad and everything, she was cool. I mean, she drove him around and took care of him. And then when he died, she fell apart and it ended up on, you know, meth and stuff. And what happened, what I wanted to say, and I didn't earlier, was the fact that, you know, that Dr. Feelgood guy, you know, when he hurt his knee and, you know, in the football game. And, you know, this guy kept prescribing all these stuff. And that's what messed him up. I mean, he didn't do that on his own.
No. No, because
there were so many emotions.
They were doing that to a lot of the whole community. They were doing that to.
Yeah.
I just never read a book with so many emotions in there.
Oh, I know.
I thought Grandma was interesting to her. She paid his upkeep all that time. But when he wouldn't go to school, he wouldn't do his part. She cut him off.
You know, that's sort of tough love.
Tough love.
Absolutely.
His great great aunt, right? Was that it? Yeah. Shoot, what was? Anyway, she helped him out. She, you know, paid for his education there for a while, and you know,
no, but at least she was his grandmother.
His grandmother,
right? Your grandmother, yeah. Thank you. And you know, at least he got to know his Uncle Dick, you know, which is wonderful.
Yeah. Liz, what were you gonna say?
What I was gonna say is that's the major crux of the whole opioid crisis is most people get hooked because of some legitimate reasons.
Right. And that's what happened to him.
The thing is, it's still going on today. We should see all the opiate
more
stuff we've
so
got going on here. Yeah.
Yeah.
With all this fentanyl and stuff that's still coming over the border. And
Marcia, that's what's happening here. Yeah.
Really?
Wow. Very sad.
Yeah.
But Ellen, this was a good one. Thanks for recommending it.
Yeah.
One of the things about reading it in Braille is you get to see, like, I've always heard about opioids for years and years. I never could figure out how it was spelled. And then I saw it in Braille, and there it is. Yeah. And all the other things that I wondered how the different names were spelled.
Right.
And
yep.
I need a Braille. Jenna. I don't have a Braille display yet.
You don't have the e-reader yet?
We don't have it here in Michigan yet, Ralph.
Oh, wow.
Not in Missouri either.
We have it in New York. I haven't heard.
I think that we're in the great flyover.
Right.
What you have to do is you have to call your library and get permission to find out which libraries have the humanware. One, that's the one that you want, and call.
We don't have it.
No, but if you want it, you can call your regional library, get them to find out. I know New Jersey had a lot of them, and you want the humanware one.
Right.
You don't want the Zoomax.
Well, do we have them in Mississippi yet or not?
Actually,
we're on the list.
I'm on our state library's consumer involvement committee. And we have our next meeting in April. Mm-hmm. So I'll be able to find out.
They told us
wait that long.
It should have been released to us in last year, but we still in Missouri have not been given any. And so we're just in a holding pattern. You can sign up on a list to get one when it finally gets here. Yeah, that's the best you can do.
We're the same way.
You can ask the libraries that have them and there are lots of libraries, and New Jersey is one of them, and they have lots of them. At least they did have them. They probably do.
They might do an interlibrary loan. I don't know. I know they do that with books.
That could be.
And I don't think they do that.
No,
I don't think so
through
either.
Through NLS.
Okay.
No, I think you're right, Mr. Smith.
The last I heard, there were 37 or 38 states on the list to receive the e-readers, whether it was HumanWare or Zumax or whatever. Mississippi is one of them, but the people with whom I have spoken don't have one. I was fortunate enough to be on the beta testing, so I've had one for several years now. And I hope NLS doesn't want it back because they're not getting it.
Don't give it to them.
I think you got lucky, Joni, because you used to live in New Jersey.
Yes, and I'm still affiliated with that. And my e-reader, I had had it for a couple of years, but I was too sick to learn it. And then when I decided that I was well enough to start learning things, I got my e-reader out, and that the whole thing was not working. And I didn't know what to do, so I called my New Jersey library, and she said, oh, we'll send you right out a new one. Just send this one back. That's what I did. Got my new one. Got my wonderful teacher, Jenna, who has changed my life. And I'm just reading and reading and reading.
Oh, cool, Joni. I'm so glad.
That's wonderful.
That's wonderful. This is Catherine in Colorado, and we have so few people that wanted them. I think we have like 37 people request an e-reader. I was able to get mine. You cannot request that you want the HumanWare one opposed to the other one. And also, if you are a Braille reader and you request a magazine in Braille sent to you, then you're automatically put on the list for e-reader. And that's what they told us a long time ago. So I went ahead and did that. Thank you.
Do we have next month's
book? Yeah. Let's do it. Next month's book.
Next book.
Do No Harm, DB. Let's see.
Oh, whoa.
110281 by Robert Pobie, P-O-B-I.
What? Wait, 110281?
110281. That's it. Yep.
Alan, is this called Do No Harm by whom?
Robert Pobie, P-O-B-I.
P-O-B-I, my boy.
Excuse me, everyone. What happened to Sleeping Bear?
Yeah, that's coming up next month.
Oh, that's right.
March 21st, right?
Okay, we'll do Sleeping Bear. Yeah, thanks. I forgot.
Yeah, Sleeping Bear is coming up next.
Yeah, because you sent it out in the same email. So that's right.
Whoa,
that's
I'm right. Like, what's going on?
My fault. I had a senior moment.
Alan, did you say P-O-B-I like in India?
No, it's changed.
That'll be for April, though, Nancy. Yeah, that's what I said. Okay. But we'll do that in April. We're going to sleep bare next month without any pajamas on.
And you know what? Sleeping bear is awesome.
So it'll be in April. Okay, thank you.
It's right, sleeping right. bear, Nancy. It's sleeping bear.
Sleeping bear is a wonderful. Oh my God!
You will not be able
to put that book down.
Let me get the DB number for Sleeping Bear. Give me a second.
Good.
That's B-E-A-R, not B-A-R-E.
Right.
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Too cold, sweet bear.
Yeah, exactly. Ellen, I was just going to download that one you just told us about. Do No Harm, but think that's
it's good. It's good. We're going to do it in April. I'm going to download that one,
considering I already read Sleeping Bear. So 110281.
Is that Connor Sullivan that did Sleeping Bear? Is that
it
right?
Is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
It.
It's let's see, 108828. 108-828, Sleeping Bear.
Well, I looked at your thing and went on mute and downloaded it while everybody was talking. So I was going, wait a minute, what are you doing, Alan?
What are we doing?
Sorry about that. Hey, Alan,
is this astrophysicist Dr. Lucas Sage? Is that the guy?
That's the do no harm. Yeah. And y'all are going to like that. So just, you know, read that for April. We'll do that one in April. So, the guy is super smart and he's got like a couple of prosthetic limbs. He's got like a prosthetic arm and a prosthetic leg. And he's got a prosthetic eye as well. He was,
oh my God.
I think there was an earlier book that he's in, but this is a standalone, and it's got a lot of mystery in it and stuff, and it's very suspenseful. It'll be good, but we'll sleep bear next month though, and then we'll get to that.
The author of Sleeping Bear?
Author's Connor Sullivan.
Yeah, Connor Sullivan.
Okay, because I was just now trying to download it on Audible. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, Connor Sullivan is author of Sleeping Bear.
You know what? The book that was mentioned last Friday, I put the number in and that didn't work. So I don't know what book it was. I forget now.
It's defending Greta Stein.
Right.
Stein.
Right.
I don't know the number though myself.
Well, the number didn't work. So anyway. I'm sure you'll send it out, Alan. I just wanted to let you know the one that I
put Randy's not sent me a newswire yet for novel ideas.
That one didn't work.
Yeah.
All right. So we're meeting March 21st, correct?
March 21st. Yeah. That'll be it. Yep.
That's right. Okay, cool. Sounds good.
We'll see you then.
You
thanks,
betcha.
Everybody, thank you all for coming.
Alan,
I'm
you
glad
for
you
enjoyed
thank you, Alan.
The
book.
Good job, guys. Good job.
What's very pretty good. Cool. It's the day after the first day of spring.
Oh, very nice.
Right? Yeah.
Time for that nightmare to wake up.
Well, it was spring here today. It got up to like almost 80 degrees. So
that's
yeah.
True.
Wow.
Well, you know what? Ice storm tomorrow.
Please keep us all. Keep us here in the Midwest and in Michigan. We could get one hell of an ice storm. So
yeah, that's what I heard.
Wow.
I heard there's about 20 something states that are under a winter advisory. So
I'd
rather have we're getting storms tomorrow.
We're getting storms too tomorrow, but we're only supposed to be getting an inch and a half of rain, but a lot of wind, and wind can do just as much damage, knocking trees
to get,
down
we're
and
supposed
stuff.
To get a lot of wind here too. Yeah. So, but
well, we all need to be careful.
A lot of wind and a lot of dust here.
That's right. Everybody stay safe and stay inside if it's the weather's bad. Yeah.
Take care, everyone.
Take care. Everybody
okay.
be safe.
All right, good job, guys.
It was a good
thank
discussion.
You all for coming.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Alan.